the honor. Good evening. Good evening. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the wonder of your presence. Lord, we thank you that, that God, that you are that incredible, that we could never figure you out. We could never exhaust, Lord, our efforts in just seeking you and coming to know you. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful opportunity to know you. Lord, to continue to seek after you and continue to allow you, Lord, to just share yourself with us. Lord, tonight I just pray that you would help us to open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to who you are tonight. That the reality of your presence, the reality of you being in our lives, God, would be just quickened in our lives tonight. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, the opportunity to be amongst your people, Lord. And I just thank you for that tonight. And we give you glory and honor and praise. There is no God like you. We thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for just your incredible love for us. Lord, as 1 John says, what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called children of God. Father, we just thank you for this incredible love that caused you to send your Son, your only Son, whom you love dearly, to give his life, Lord, to pay the penalty, Lord, that belonged to us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you, Lord, for just being in our lives tonight. And Lord, as we focus on you, I just thank you that you will be manifest, that you will, Lord, we will see you, Lord, in some way or fashion tonight. Because, Lord, you are faithful. You said where two or more of us gather, you are here. So, Lord, we thank you for being here with us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. The greatest benefit we have, the greatest joy of being the redeemed and being the children of God is the very presence of God himself. Amen? Amen. And the whole idea of being in pursuit of God just for who he is, not for what we can get for him, from him. You know, see, oftentimes, you know, people start seeking God because they have needs or problems. And that happens, and that doesn't mean we turn them away. But there's a time where our search for God matures, that we realize that the greatest benefit is him alone. You know, thank God for what he does for us. Thank God for the blessings and the care and everything. Thank God for that. But there's nothing like just him and his presence. Amen? And that's what Moses learned. You know, remember Moses was told, the Lord said, hey, you're going to be able to take these people. You're going to go to the land that I promised you. And it will be everything I promised. So Moses, you can have everything that you desired and everything that I promised can be yours. One stipulation, I'm not going with you. But Moses in his life, right, in his the maturity of his relationship with the Lord, said, no way. If you don't go, then don't send me. And having that understanding that the greatest thing is the presence of the Lord. Because if we have him, we have everything. You know, things run out. Things only take us so far. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our everything. So tonight, let's just seek him. Let's just go after him. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit. See, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to take what belongs to him and make it known to us. Make it experientially in our lives, right? That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. And tonight, let's let the Holy Spirit do his job in all of our lives. Amen? Let's agree with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, if we're going to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be thinking things like Jesus is the greatest thing there is. Nothing compares to him. That's what the Holy Spirit's, you know, one of his favorite saying is, there's no one like him, because he's lifting up Jesus. He's taken all of the glory of that belongs to Jesus, and he's making it known in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you tonight for your presence. We welcome you into each of our lives, Lord. We agree with your word. Your word, you say that not to lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you, and you will bring direction into our lives. So we acknowledge you right now here tonight. We acknowledge you as the worship leader of our heart, the worship leader of heaven. We acknowledge you as our ever-present help in time of need. We acknowledge you as our wisdom, as our comfort, as our joy. So as we begin to worship tonight, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would begin to just open up our hearts and begin to bring us into a depth of understanding of how much we really love Jesus and how great he is in our lives. Let there be revelation come to our hearts today. Because, Lord, that's what we need. Lord, we live in a world, we live amongst a people, Lord, that are propagating the opposite, Lord. But, Lord, I thank you that you are able to keep us in the world, just as Jesus prayed, keep them while they're in this world. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We adore you. We exalt you. We thank you for showing us Jesus in a great and mighty way tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Yeah. blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. If I hear the voice of Mary, I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. The sun, where
Hallelujah. We know our Redeemer lives. Amen? Amen. And that's one of the benefits of enjoying the worship of the Lord with the Holy Spirit, because what happens is he begins to bring that revelation and fill our spirit with the truth in that revelation. And now all of a sudden, our proclamation. One of the reasons why I love how Nicole sings this song is you can feel it. I mean, it is her passion. You know, to me, it's the passion in her voice. Oh, the words are great too, but the way she sings, I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. And that's something that can only be driven by the Spirit within us. You know, that it begins to be something that is heartfelt and that really begins to be life. Instead of just trying to conform to a way, now all of a sudden there's that spirit of adoption in me crying, Abba, Father. My whole spirit is like, yeah, God, you are just great. You are awesome. I have to have more of you. And I know that he lives, you know. And then the little thing she says at the end, I just spoke with him this morning, you know. And that is another wonderful benefit, you know, about being a child of God, is we get to truly be in his presence. When he said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be also. That's now. That's right now. I can be where he is right now. You know, in fact, the scripture says, Paul wrote that we are seated with him in heavenly places. You know, so our spiritual position is established with him. And when the word of God uses, you know, being seated there, it means that it's been accomplished. You know, we're established there. There's not a war still going on to try to win that position for us. You know, once we've surrendered to Christ and he's our Lord and the Spirit of God is in us, that position is ours. Amen? And so we don't have to try to struggle to make that happen. It's already been established. Now, what we got to do is walk it out. And the way we walk that out is through believing him, you know, and it's through having faith in him and walking and living that out, living out of what is unseen instead of what is seen. Amen? It's very, very important that we live and understand that the just shall live by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So I have the tremendous opportunity to live by what is unseen, right? In Hebrews 11, it says everything that we see has been created out of what is unseen. So the unseen is far greater and existed far longer, and out of that unseen is what everything we see here is created. So we've been given the opportunity to go a step beyond what this world has and to be able to comprehend the things that God has for us. And then Jesus teaches us that once you've learned to do that, you just pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so since we can now perceive the things that are in heaven, we can now speak that forth. That can be our confession, our proclamation. That is what we choose to have as our reality. Amen? And so it's an awesome, wonderful, wonderful life that we have in Christ. Amen? And then as we would, just to recap a little bit what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, it's found in Romans 7 and Romans 8, the two different natures, you know, the two different laws, the law of sin and the law of the Spirit of life, and the law of sin and death and the law of life in Romans 7 and 8, and that we have, you know, these two laws at work because we're still in our flesh, you know, but we can choose to live to the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the flesh, and we can choose to have, to live in the life that is given to us. And then as you read on more in Romans 8, it says to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so it's our endeavor as Christians to be alive to the things of the Spirit. Amen? And we don't have to worry about the old nature. You don't have to, you know, be affected by it. All you've got to do is shake it off and put on Christ, put on the new nature, and walk in the new life that you have, right? And so it's a clean break. You know, we understand that there's no life in our flesh. It's all death. My life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God. And so I live for Him. Amen? And we also talked earlier about Adam and Eve and the trees in the garden. One tree was the knowledge of good and evil, right? So it was the knowledge of good and evil. And then there was the tree of life, which is what, you know, was the good tree, right? The two trees there. And the Lord said that the day that you eat of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. Right? The knowledge of good and evil. So when Adam and Eve ate of that, they died in their spirit, right? They didn't physically immediately die at that moment. But it did begin the perpetual cycle of birth and death. But the thing of it was, is that all Satan had to do is to get Eve to make a decision outside of what God told her, right? God said, first of all, the scripture says, God said, let us make man in our image, okay? So Adam and Eve were already in the image of God. So the devil comes along and says, why don't you eat that? Are you sure that's what God doesn't want you to do? In other words, he tried to get her to start thinking in her own mind now. Then he says, you know what? God knows if you eat that you're going to be just like him. Well, guess what? She already was created in the image of God. The New Testament already says that we are being changed and transformed into the image of Christ. It was already a desire born in her heart to be in the image of God. That's how she was created. But she went about it to grab a hold of it outside of the revelation truth of God. And it's like us, the situations that we face each day. If we face them and we're forced into making decisions without the truth and without the revelation of God, then we're going to make decisions that may be good decisions, but not necessarily godly decisions, not necessarily kingdom of God decisions, you see? Because, you know, God's ways are higher above our ways. His thoughts high above our thoughts, right? We just cannot think on his plane unless we're thinking, right, through the help of the Holy Spirit or through the revelation what God reveals to us. So if we get caught up in our own thinking and think we're making the right decisions based upon my intellect and man's wisdom outside of God's revelation, then we're not going to be making kingdom of God decisions. Because you notice it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So I know how to be good. I grew up in a Christian home, right? And I saw all the mistakes my mom and dad made before, so I don't have to make them. I know what good is, right? I know how to be good in my own mind, right? And so I'm going to set out to be good. And you can look and say, wow, he's good, right? But it's not the life, it's not the breath of God, it's not a life being led by the Holy Spirit, it's a life that's just being led out of the good side of my flesh. See what I'm saying? But when I realize that, wait a minute, there's more to it than that, that I get to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I get to live by the breath of God. I get to live out of the fresh expression of who God is through my life. I get to really, truly have the nature and the character and the life of Christ in my life every day. Amen? It's different than living just out of the good side of my flesh. Make sense? And so now we understand that, you know, when life comes at us with decisions to make, that I don't need to make them void out of the revelation of God. The Bible says that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. acknowledging Him is receiving His divine revelation, His inspiration into my life, His breath, if you would, into my life, so that now the things that I do are not just based on... I remember in Scripture, I think it was Paul was chastising some of the Christians. He says, "You one say you're of this, and one say you're of that." He says, "You're acting like mere men. You mean you're just acting like carnal people. But you're not. You're the people of God, you know?" And they were just acting out of their own self. And we don't have to do that. We get the opportunity of having the life of God flowing in our life each and every day. And I don't have to make decisions without receiving inspiration from God. I don't have to. Now, we do many times. We're learning this. You know, we're being, you know, being transformed into the image of His Son. Jesus didn't do anything that the Father didn't say to do. He didn't do anything that the Father wasn't doing. You know, He says, "I hear what the Father's saying, that's what I say. I see what He's doing, that's what I do." That's what Jesus was. He was completely in stride with the will of God and the will of the Father. And so if we're being transformed into that image, then that's who we are to be. But we're all in process. Amen? And usually we start out, we know all the major decisions of life, we better consult God, right? And then we start drilling down into our life where it gets closer and closer and closer, you know, to our home, to our heart, so that now we realize that, you know, how we live and what we do and the things that we say and how we say them and why we say them, all of that, God wants to affect that. He wants to impart His life into that. Amen? And if you remember 1 Corinthians 15:49, I used this verse before, but it says that the first Adam became a living being. We're all living beings. The second Adam became a life-given spirit. And just as we bear the image of the first Adam, we will also bear the image of the second Adam. So what's that mean? That means we become a life-giving spirit. In other words, we become the expression of God. We become the very nature and character of God begins to be lived through our lives. Amen? And in that, then, we can dispense the life and the joy and the things of the kingdom wherever we go, whatever we do. That's the ultimate goal of God's working in our lives. Amen? And so we keep working at it, right? And we keep going. Any questions on that? Just recapping some of that. It might be elementary for some. It might be deep for some. But it is what it is. Any questions? Thoughts or comments? Yes, John. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15:49 says that the first Adam, speaking of Adam in the garden, became a living being. Okay, in other words, just like every one of us, we were born of our mother and we became alive, right? An animated living being. But the second Adam, or being born again, right? The second Adam, which is Jesus, right, became a life-giving spirit, okay? So we have the opportunity to live after the first Adam, which is our flesh, or after the second Adam, which is the spirit, our spirit that's made alive, that is in God, that is of God, and that is of the kingdom of heaven. We have that opportunity to live in the life-given spirit, okay? 1 Corinthians 15:49. And it goes on to say, you know, we bear the image of Adam. We're going to also bear the image of this life-giving spirit man, Jesus. Okay? And that's what he's endeavoring to do, is to transform us into that image of his son, that we don't become living after the flesh, but we become those that live according to the Spirit. And the Bible says that those who walk in the Spirit are the true sons of God. Okay? Because God's looking for true spiritual sons like his son. Right? And that's what he has saved us for and created us for. Amen? Yes? Deuteronomy 28.
Yes, the beginning of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you will hearken, that means listen to the voice of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And do all that I have commanded you to do. It says there about the blessings that's going to be coming upon us. But if we are rebellious and do not listen to mm-hmm. what God tells us to do, and that it says, rather listen to the rhema word of God, the voice of the Lord spoken personally to me for what he wants me to do and that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That I can serve him the way that he wants me and that to serve him. And no one will ever truly be happy and that if they are not being obedient to the Lord and doing what he tells them to do. Because that's when we get in all kinds of messes, and we mm-hmm. are never going to be truly happy until we're serving God the way he wants us to serve him.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the reason being is what God wants us to do is to be in the way of everlasting. Right? God wants us to be in the place of blessing and what we were really created for. Right? And so his way, he is the way, the truth, and the life. His way is the way that leads to everlasting
yes.
life.
Yes.
Okay? And there's a way that seems right to a man that leads to destruction. And so when we're making decisions based upon our best, you know, our best intellectual reasoning, oftentimes we miss the mark. So God comes to bring revelation to us so that we know the way to walk in everlasting. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's important that we stay close to God.
Yes.
That we stay in a place that we are given opportunity for him to speak into our lives.
Yes.
And when we say speak into our lives, in case you're not aware of that, it doesn't actually always mean an audible voice. It means an impression in your heart that you just know this is what God is saying, because that's how he speaks into our spirit to spirit, right? And the spirit is in your inner man. And so the way that you hear the voice of the spirit in your inner man oftentimes is you just know, you know? And sometimes it might even sound like your own voice, but you just know that it's God impressing that upon you. And we have to, what's that?
You're conscious.
That's right. But you know, oftentimes we're so busy with life, or we're so freaked out with situations that our mind's running a million miles an hour, that we never quiet ourselves before God and let him speak to us and allow us to hear him, you know? And that is extremely important as believers. Is that, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, quiet time, Bible reading time, so that we do our duties. It's a matter of being available to have interaction with God. Amen? Someone asked me one time, you know, how much time should I spend in prayer? How much time should I spend in preparation? I says, this is my gauge, that I know if I'm out to seek God, and I know that I have accomplished what I needed to do, is when who he is affects who I am. Amen? Because I could be in a situation where I don't know which way to turn. I've got a problem. And now all of a sudden, I've grabbed a hold of him, and now all that he is comes and affects me in that situation. Where now the God factor takes over. I've got him. I'm where I need to be. Amen? And it sometimes it may take days. Sometimes it may take 5 minutes. But the goal is to get into that place where who he is affects who I am. Where I am changed and affected by who he is. And anyway, there was a question. Yes, Bobby. Jesus is here, absolutely. And he's here, and his presence needs to be the most important thing to us. And as Christians, believers, friends of the Lord, being in that fresh presence of God becomes our everything. It becomes, I can't go long without being in that place where I just really feel his presence right with me. Where I can almost put my head on the pillow when he's speaking to me. I can't go long outside of that place because I begin to feel empty. I begin to feel unfulfilled. I begin to feel fearful. You know what I mean? It's like you're out on a ledge and Jesus is holding you and all of a sudden you feel he's not there anymore. You could fall off any moment. That's not a good feeling. We are meant to live in communion with him and friendship with him and walking arm in arm with him, and we're not meant to be at a distance. Amen? I remember the scripture where it was talking about Peter when he denied the Lord. It said that as they began to walk, and they were walking Jesus back into Jerusalem when the guards had him, it said Peter followed from a distance. And that right there set Peter up. You know, before he even denied the Lord 3 times and the cock crowed and the whole thing, he already allowed himself to be distant from the Lord. He allowed him to be distanced. In the one scripture where Jesus was teaching about, he was teaching about, you know, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, you know, my life has to become what you live on. And it was a hard saying. And a lot of them said, this is crazy. This is impossible. I'm getting out of here. And so he turned to his disciples. And he said, do you too want to go away? Because it's a hard saying. It's difficult. And they said, where else can we go? You know, you alone, you know, have the words of life. You know. And did you have a question?
And that is hard. It's hard to turn away from that.
Right.
And Lord, and you've had those experiences, it's hard. It's hard to turn away and not to do what he tells you to do.
Right.
I love him so much.
Amen.
And that because of all he's done for me.
Amen. But, you know, and that's awesome. I mean, the times where we know God has revealed himself to us in incredible ways, and that is, it just gives us the appetite for more of him. But we have to keep ourselves in the place that we continue to feast on him and feed on him and draw close to him. Because just as Peter, you know, put his head on his breast, and just as Peter, you know, was so blessed of God and had divine revelation and walked with Jesus on the water and the whole thing, you know, he still came to a time in his life that when he allowed himself to be distanced from the Lord, he then was put himself in a place of denial. And that's one thing to learn, is that whenever we're allowing ourselves to be distanced, you know, we are setting ourselves up for making a decision that denies the revelation of God in our lives. You see, because he came that we may have life and life more abundantly. And he brings life, the Bible says, that this is eternal life, that we may know him, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. The life is in his Son, the Bible says. So if we have the Son, we have life. If we don't have the Son of God, right, we don't have life. So the measure of life that I'm experiencing, the kind of life that God came from heaven to give me, right, the measure of that life depends on how much of him I am allowing in my life. Make sense? You know, if I'm just a Christian that just comes to church on Sunday and that's all I let God have in my life, right, then that's all the life I'm going to have. But if I'm the kind of Christian that says, okay, I'm going to allow God in my daily life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, then okay, well, all of a sudden now, that's more life that I'm enjoying. And then if I see, you know what, Lord, I've got fears in my life, I've got little secret things of the flesh in my heart that Lord, I'm going to let you in there. Then all of a sudden, I got more life and more life and more. And so it begins to grow in me so that now I'm really living the abundant life that he came to give me. Amen? So it's a matter of how much I'm allowing myself to receive and walk in the abundant life. And what I see oftentimes is that as people, we have the tendency that when God fixes things and everything's going good in life, right, we have the tendency sometimes to say, okay, I got this. Give me the steering wheel now. I got this under control, you know. And little do we know, we're heading for a cliff, you know. And we actually begin to step away from that close whisper of God, you know, in our life. And we begin to follow and distance ourselves and set ourselves up for a situation that we may deny the Lord like Peter did, you know. Now, you might say, well, you know, I don't know if I can go as far as Peter and totally deny the Lord. But oftentimes when we make decisions based upon our flesh and deny the intervention of God in our life and deny the reality of the Word of God in our life, we're doing the same exact thing. But thank God for his grace. Okay, no one's condemned here. It's no condemnation, right? We all win with Jesus, right? But what we're looking at is how to walk in a greater freedom. Because remember what Jesus said in John 8? He said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then the Pharisees came back and said, we're not in bondage to anybody. How can you say be free? Jesus said, that and to whom you obey, that's who you're in bondage to, you know? And he said that, you know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And so oftentimes we think, you know, we're free, but are we as free as God wants us to be? Are we walking in that total freedom that's available to us, you know? And again, not distancing ourselves from that close, intimate walk with the Lord, you know, so that we're, and that's the importance of staying involved in the things of God. Staying around people that are excited about the things of God, that are active in the things of God, that are doing the things of God, that are, you know, staying around that for that kind of encouragement and spurring one another on to stay true about our relationship with Christ, because it's important that we walk close to Him, that we follow Him, that we hear His voice every day, that we allow Him to be involved in our decisions, and we allow the life of God to flow in us, because that's what we're created to be. Any other thoughts or questions? No? Yes, Doris? That's wonderful.
And no one is ever going to tell me that God does not hear the cries of His children.
Right. That's for sure. He's faithful. He's good. Amen.
Be sure your sin will find out. It didn't happen.
and lost everything. The best job I ever had. Been around good people. But he spoke to me when I was a sinner.
Right. Amen.
And then when I gave my heart to God, I heard his voice again. My father and I were having problems. My father said to me, days want to come. You're going to fall on your knees and ask me to forgive you. But not me. I gave my heart to God. I heard the voice of God say, you made it right with me, now make it right with your father. And when I got to see my father, he usually wasn't home at that time. And when I went into my father's house, I did go on my knees and asked him to forgive me. And he took me by his hands and he hugged me.
Amen. Praise God. Reconciliation. That's what the Father's about. Amen. Hearing his voice. And the important thing is, you know, we're talking a lot about hearing his voice. I felt of the Lord to say this. A lot of times we hear his voice, but we don't obey it. And we dismiss it. So be attentive to when you hear God speak. When you know it's God impressing upon you. And take heed because, Amen. So let's do that. Praise God. Turn with me if you would. We got a little bit of time here. I want to go to the book of Acts, and I want to go to chapter 12. And I want to talk about the time that Peter was put in prison, okay? I just want to look at how the Spirit of God interacted in this situation. Terry, do you got something to say? You're looking at me like you got something to say. No?
I'm just thinking about different things.
Okay.
You know, one thing I'm thinking about is joy and how important it is in our Christian walk. And I just like to speak joy to each and every one.
Amen.
Here in this church. And I just pray that
the joy of the Lord.
Focused, you know, and so easy to wake up in the morning
So think of it. If you're saying that you're dry, saying that you want a drink, you know, what is it when we ask the Lord for a drink? What are we really asking for? We're asking to receive that the life flowing substance of God into our life, right? Of Him. That's right. It's Him, right? And he explained it as, you know, a drink of water. You know, you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. In other words, he is able to really quench, you know, the Samaritan woman, John 4. He's able to really quench the thirsting of our soul, you know. And so we're feeling like our souls are when we're saying we need a drink or we're feeling dry, we're saying we want more of him. We're hungering and thirsting for him in our life. And the neat thing the Lord says that he says that that the Lord never withholds the Holy Spirit. He says he's a good father. He knows how to give good gifts. He never withholds the Holy Spirit from those who ask, you know. And so what the Holy Spirit does is he takes what is his and makes it alive or known in our lives. And so it's simply asking, Lord, give me a fresh drink. Lord, refresh me. Lord, Lord, quicken me in your way. I just want more of you tonight. I just want the drink, a fresh drink of water tonight, right?
New refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Right, absolutely.
That's what we need.
Continually filled.
We need that throughout our Christian life.
That's right.
Not just when we receive the baptism.
Right.
And the further you get,
continually
and the closer
filled.
You get to the Lord, and the further you get out into the spiritual realm, you don't want to go back.
Right.
You don't want to go back, and you can't turn around and you can't say, Annette, God, I don't want to serve you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Annette, I don't want to do, Annette, what you're telling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have that urge, you got to keep going and not turning back.
And it's the constant flow that keeps you from getting dry. You know, we need to have a constant flow in it. And so, you know, it even reminds me of, was it in Haggai, the lamp that had the continual flow of the oil, the fresh oil? And it's a picture of how we are in the Spirit. And it's the same thing in John 15, abiding in the vine. You know, that we bear fruit because, you know, the nourishment, you know, flows through us on a continual basis. And why don't we do this? There's a few more songs there we can play, Dave. And let's just get into the presence. Let's just, I mean, we're in the presence. I don't mean it that way. But let's just let our hearts cry to him in a direct way, saying, Lord, just fill me up tonight. Just fill me up. Let's, Let's just not try to, you know, reason things and having to have everything figured out. It's very simple. He's a good father. He knows how to give good gifts, and he won't withhold it from us when you ask. So if you're asking for a drink, you're going to get a drink. You know, if you're asking for more of him, another terminology of a drink, then you're going to get more of him. Whatever it is your heart's seeking after God tonight, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Amen? And so we just want to be just fresh filled. And when the word says to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means be continually filled. We can't just settle for what we had last week. We need what we have, what the Lord has for us tonight. Amen? Fresh manna from him. So, Dave, you got a few of those songs. And let's just go into a time of worship and just asking the Lord. If you'd like prayer, you can come up front and we'll pray for you, you know, directly. If you just want to spend time with the Lord and ask him to touch you and fill you, you can do that too. We're just going to let God be God and do what he wants to do tonight. Amen?
I will love you. Sing it over your family. Sing it over our government. Sing that hallelujah. Sing it out. And hallelujah.
We have the children coming in and getting ready to go, but can we all stand up and we're just going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just know, Lord, as this song was singing, you reign. We can say, hallelujah, Lord, you reign over every aspect, over every situation, over every fear or trouble or need. Lord, you reign. Hallelujah, you reign, oh Lord. And Lord, tonight we just ask for the fresh infilling of your reigning spirit. We just ask, Lord, tonight for the fresh breath of God upon each and every one standing. Lord, give us a fresh drink. Give us the fresh breath of your spirit tonight. Lord, that we don't have to walk out of this room lifeless, but Lord, we can be given the spirit of life, Lord, the breath of God upon each one. Father, I thank you. Lord, we just bless them with your presence. Lord, we know your spirit is in them. Lord, let your spirit be upon them and refresh each and every one, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because you are a good father and you give good gifts. And Holy Spirit, you are a good gift. So, Lord, we just receive your breath upon us afresh tonight, and we go forth in victory, claiming hallelujah, our God reigns. Amen. Amen. God bless you.